last night with the Valentine's banquet. We had a, you know, not only a great fellowship, but a great meal and great singing there as well. So if you wasn't able to attend last night, just put it on your calendar and make sure you make it next year. But did y'all realize it was Super Bowl Sunday? That's what I said. So, you know, it's already been a Super Sunday already, hasn't it? We're in the house of the Lord this morning. We're all was able to get out of bed and come here, wouldn't we? So that's a super day. But if you have your Bibles, please turn back to Nehemiah chapter 8. This morning is the final and part 3 of our message titled Characteristics of a Christ-Centered Church. We'll finish up with our short study of Nehemiah this morning. You know, originally I did not intend for this to be a sermon series, but that's the way God works sometimes. You know, we can spend several weeks with just these chapter 8 and just a short, small one through 6 or 8 verses or so. But you know, the more I read, went back and read and studied, you know, the more God pointed out to me. That's the way God works. You know, the more you read the Word, the more you are revealed to you, the more you learn, the more you get excited about God's Word, or you should get excited about God's Word. You should get excited about learning different things every time you read it. You know, and every time I did that, my outline got longer and longer, didn't it, Brother Gary? We've been back and forth to emails trying to update and trying to change the outline, but I think we finally got it this morning. Amen. But went back and I added notes and points and subpoints, and it just kind of grew from there. You know, I guess he had a lot to say about this particular message, and I think it was a timely message. But I think it's about time we moved on from here. But I don't know about you, but I have really enjoyed this study. I really enjoyed this chapter 8 of Nehemiah, and I know personally I've been blessed to bring this message to you. And you guys have really blessed me, I'll tell you that up front. And I have been truly blessed by having this opportunity to share God's Word with all of you. So I know we've read this many times, and I don't have Brother Maverick up here to pronounce his name for me, so I'm just going to skip over him. So Nehemiah chapter 8, verses 1 through 8. Real quick, just kind of put us back where we are. It said, all the people gathered as one man into the square before the water gate, and they told Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses that the Lord has commanded Israel. So Ezra the priest brought the law before the assembly, both men and women, and all who could understand what they heard, on the first day of the seventh month. And he read from it facing the square before the water gate from the early morning until midday in the presence of the men and women and those who could understand. And the ears of all the people were attentive to the book of the law. And Ezra the scribe stood on a wooden platform that they made for the purpose, and beside him stood these 13 guys, 6 on one side and 7 on the other side. Thank you. And Israel opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was above all the people, and he opened it, all the people stood. And Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God, and all the people answered, Amen, Amen, lifting up their hands, and they bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. And these other 13 guys were there on the ground. They read from the book and the law of God clearly, and they gave the sense that the people understood the reading. That's bow for prayer. Heavenly Father, just thank you so much for allowing us to gather here again today. God, I pray that you will allow your Holy Spirit work in our presence today. God, I pray that you will help me preach your word in such a way that it will be also understood. God, we know that your word is like a two-edged sword that cuts deep. God, if anybody here that needs to make any type of decision, God, I pray that this morning will be that morning. God, I pray you just give them the courage to do that. God, I pray that if someone here does not know your Son, Jesus Christ, as the Lord and Savior, has not given their life over to him, God, I pray that today will be the day of their salvation. God, just thank you so much for your words. Thank you so much for this study. Thank you for all the ones that contribute in your house here at East End Baptist Church. God, I pray that this church will continue to be a beacon of light in this community. Continue to go forth to spread the gospel of your Son. And continue to make changes in people's lives. God, be with me. Be with us the rest of the day. Continue to watch over us. Keep us safe and healthy. And all these things I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Until now, Nehemiah has been in the forefront of the story. You know, he's been the main character in the first half of the particular book. He was a gifted administrator who could organize and mobilize people to get the wall built. By now, the wall has been rebuilt, and for the time being, his work is kind of done, for now anyways. You know, he steps back and takes a back seat to Ezra, and we see that. He tells us back in verse 1 where Nehemiah chapter 8 and back in Ezra chapter 7 verses 6 through 10 that Ezra was a scribe, that he was skilled and very educated in the law of Moses. And in verse 10 of Ezra chapter 7 tells us that he had set his heart to study the law of the Lord. Have you set your heart to study the law of the Lord? But not only that, he also studied or put his heart to doing what it says, to be obedient. And he also set his heart to not only do that, but also to teach it. You can say that he was very passionate about preaching and teaching the Word of God, and Nehemiah knew that. So he steps aside and lets Ezra have the pulpit and do what he was called to do. So now you can see where we are and what's happening when we get to this chapter 8 of Nehemiah, which is an illustration of what our modern day church should be. It should be a church that is Christ-centered. We have made it through the first 5 verses where we learned that a Christ-centered church will gather together in unity with a desire in our heart to gather together regardless of convenience, gather with our family. And we learned that we'll be giving of his time, his tithes and offering, their teaching, their attention, and their reverence. So starting in verse 6, we'll see that a Christ-centered church will glorify the Lord with praise and worship. And that's what we did this morning, wasn't it? We praised and worshiped. Our scripture reading was about praise. And a couple of songs was about praise and worship. And that's how God works. So look at verse 6. It says, "And Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God, and all the people answered, Amen, Amen, were lifting up their hands, and they bowed their heads, and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground." So my third point in this series is glorify Him with praise and worship. Did you catch what they did? You catch what the people did? They said, Amen, Amen, out loud during a church service. Are you kidding me in a Baptist church? What did the people think? They said, Amen, Amen, while the pastor was preaching. Oh, my goodness. I heard one amen. The words praise and worship are commonly used in the church. Praise and worship time is a very special time during a church service when everyone usually stands up and sings songs to glorify God. And that's why we're here, right? To glorify God. Or I should say, it's time where church people, Christians, would want to glorify God and stand up and praise and worship Him. Is He not worthy, as the song said this morning? Is He not worthy? That's where the church says, Amen, right? Okay, I'm trying to feed, okay? I'm trying to prompt you guys. You know, praise means to commend, to applaud, to magnify. For the Christian, praise to God is an expression of worship, lifting Him up and glorifying the Lord. It is an expression of humbling ourselves and centering our attention upon the Lord with heartfelt expression of love, adoration, and thanksgiving. Are we thankful? Do we praise God on certainly who He is, but not so much of what He's done for me, but who He is? Now we see this beautiful scene in our scripture this morning. The people have gathered together like we have this morning. in the area that was near the water gate. Ezra is standing on a little pulpit of wood that was made for the purpose. He stands on this and reads to the people, both men and women, who are standing there. From morning to midday, he reads to them. He preaches to them. He reads the law of the Lord. And they stand there listening attentively. About noon, after they had been there probably 5 or 6 hours listening to the Word of God, he blesses the Lord. He gives praise unto the Lord. And the people respond by lifting up their hands, saying, Amen, Amen. Bowing their faces down, they bow down unto the ground. They begin to worship the Lord. You know, as people who had long been separated from the Word of God found themselves at a place of worship. Now, I understand people worship God in different ways, and they praise God in different ways, and we see that here. The people worshiped Him vocally by saying, Amen, Amen. They also worshiped visibly with lifting them their hands and bowing down to their heads and to the ground. And they also worship humbly. So there are different ways we can praise Him. In the scripture reading this morning in Psalms 151 through 6, it says, Praise the Lord. And it says, got exclamation point there. Praise the Lord. Praise God in His sanctuary, which we are doing today. We're praising the Lord. Praise Him in His mighty heavens. Praise Him for His mighty deeds. Praise Him according to His excellent greatness. Praise Him with trumpet sound. Praise Him with lute and harp. Praise Him with tambourine and dance. All right, this is not a Church of Christ, okay? So I don't see much dancing out in the aisles. So. Praise Him with strings and pipes. Praise Him with sounding cymbals. Praise Him with loud clashing cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord again with exclamation point. Church, we sure don't have a problem with our praise and think nothing about clapping for singers and entertainers nowadays, do we? We don't have a problem praising and clapping our favorite sports team. Praise for the guy who scored the winning touchdown or made the last second winning basket or made the pass on the last lap and won the Daytona 500 or whatever it is. We'll stand up, we'll clap our hands and scream at the top of our lungs at the Razorbacks when they make a great play or grab the lead or when Anthony Black or Ricky Council makes a long three-point shot. We'll also jump and scream and hold up our hands in the air in disbelief or disgust when they make a bonehead play or lose the lead and when officials make a bad call. Wait a minute, that's for me.
That part was for me, I guess. I guess I was preaching to myself there for a minute.
But in fact, we'll spend our money, our energy, and a lot of time to be part of whatever that excites us, that grabs our interest. The things that we're interested in and put value in. And what we value and what we deem important is what we will praise. Do you agree? Unfortunately, the individual Christian and church, a lot of things have become the object of our praise and taken the place of God. Am I not telling the truth this morning? You know, I don't watch any of those award shows on TV because I really just can't stand them, to be honest with you. They make me sick to my stomach sometimes. I don't even like those woke, self-absorbed, half-dressed celebrities that try to lecture to me. They try to lecture on right and wrong and social issues while behind the camera and behind closed doors, they are involved and engrossed in very detestable, wicked things they're trying to teach me about. You know, it's really amazing and jaw-dropping what people will praise and glorify nowadays. I bring up the awards show because this past Sunday night with the Grammy Awards, the singer Sam Smith, who identifies himself or identifies as a non-binary person, performed a song called Unholy while dressed all in red, wearing a hat with horns, and while his minions danced around like they were worshiping him. This whole devil-themed celebration of Satanism was anti-Christian, anti-conservative, and a mockery of our Almighty God. It was just disgusting, dark, evil, and demonic that blasphemes and insulting, while the audience and people around the world who watched that clapped and smiled and praised the performer. They said he was courageous to perform that. It was his artistic ability to do that. This Sam Smith has around 7.8 million Twitter followers. 9.6 million followers on Facebook. Who knows how many times that video of his Grammy performance has been shared on social media and the internet. And I wonder how many church members sat and watched that performance. Church, we better get a handle on what our kids and grandchildren and we as Christians listen to, what we watch to, and we give our praise to. You know, young people are giving their praise to people like that. You think it's maybe because they've seen things and people mom and daddy praised? You think it's things they seen grandma and grandpa gave their praise to? Have they ever seen you give praise and really worship the Lord? Had they? You know, that happened last Sunday night. This past Wednesday morning on the 8th, at a small Christian university, Asbury University, about 1,600 students, about 20 minutes southwest of Lexington, Kentucky, a revival of praise and worship and prayer broke out during a weekly chapel service that lasted all the way through Saturday. Some students stayed behind to continue worship, then more joined them, and more joined in. Students slept on the floor of the chapel or against walls, while some reported students even dragging their mattresses from dorm rooms to have a place to sleep. They did not want to leave. They wanted to stay. And others went home to sleep and freshen up and return later. Look it up. Asbury University. Worship. Word quickly spread, so thousands joined in to watch on social media platforms. And students from nearby universities drove to participate. Most of the professors canceled classes and homework assignments so students and staff could participate in this ongoing worship and prayer service. As of yesterday afternoon, students remained singing, praying, and reading Scripture and sharing testimonies. That's where you come in and say amen. The university's president said, when people see this, they see us one accord. And I preached on that at the beginning of the series. He said, this is not an Asbury thing, this is a kingdom thing. See what God can do with a Christ-centered church, with a Christ-centered people? Let's do this, church. Since it's being interactive this morning a little bit, Brother Randy tried to get y'all interactive in the singing. Maybe some of us have forgotten or out of practice in praising God, or saying amen or praise the Lord. So on the count of three, I want the whole church to say amen and praise the Lord. But please, don't make it weird. Don't roll your eyes at me. You know, we're going to praise the Lord together in unity. Okay? So I want everyone to say it together, even all the ones that may be watching online. I know we can't hear you, but if you want to participate, just say amen or type praise the Lord in the comments. You know, church, I'm not doing this in a joking manner. I'm not doing this to mock or to minimize the act of praise and worship. In our praise, we applaud Him. We brag on God. We celebrate God. We lift Him up with our voices and hearts. And I want us to do that this morning. I want us to glorify God with our praise and worship this morning. We have so much to praise Him for, amen? He is worthy, amen? So let's praise the one and only that deserves our praise and worship this morning. So, okay, on the count of three, I'm going to count. One, two, three, and I'm going to want everybody to say amen and praise the Lord, okay? One, two, three. Amen. Praise the Lord. One more time. Amen. Praise the Lord. How you feel? Was that hard? That's what's happening here in Nehemiah. They was glorifying God. They was giving Him praise. The more you do that from your heart, with sincerity and thankfulness, the easier it should be getting. Praise should be as natural for us in a Christ-centered church as it is to eating and breathing. Amen? A Christ-centered church will have a heart of praise and worship. Its people will have the freedom and liberty to praise and worship. No matter what people will think or say, because we're not here to praise each other. We're not here to praise a certain individual. Especially we're not here to praise the pastor or the deacons or a certain family or this church building, but the Lord and the Lord only. You're getting better. The people in our text today responded to the word with worship. When God's people have that intense desire in their heart for the Word of God, once they get it, they will be motivated to worship. I believe that everything we need to understand about a Christ-centered church is found here in this assembly, in this gathering that we have. The fourth and final point, we see that in verse 8. Look down in verse 8. It says, "So they read in the book and the law distinctly, and gave the sense and caused them to understand the reading." Fourth point of this sermon is a Christ-centered church will grow spiritually. Spiritual growth is a process of becoming more and more like Jesus. But this is a lifelong process through reading, studying, and the application or the obedience of God's Word. Ephesians 4:15 says, "Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ." Colossians 1:10 says, "So as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, bearing fruit in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God." And finally, 2 Peter 3:18, it says, "But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory both now and to the day of eternity." We live in a time when there are people and even Christians who have been saved for maybe decades, but there are still babies drinking milk, is what the Scripture says. People depend on Sunday school teachers or the pastor to teach them or tell them all they think they need to know. I think this goes back to the time and desire and attention that someone gives to the Lord that we spoke of earlier. Listen what the writer Hebrews says in Hebrews chapter 5, starting at verse 12. It says, "You have believers so long now that you ought to be teaching others. Instead, you need someone to teach you again the basic things about God's Word. You're like babies who need milk and cannot eat solid food. For someone who lives on milk is still an infant and doesn't know how to do what is right. Solid food is for those who are mature, who through training have the skills to recognize the difference between right and wrong." You guys notice or remember when you went back and read our passage? I hope you went back and read our passage. In verse 4, that there were six guys standing at Ezra's right and seven guys standing on his left in the pulpit. And down in verse 7, 13 more guys were named that were not on the platform with Ezra, but these 13 other guys were down amongst all the people. The text doesn't specifically tell us if they were scribes or priests themselves, but they were there to help interpret the word, to teach, to break down what Ezra was reading to the people so they could understand the law. Ezra wanted and desired for the people to get a good understanding of the Word of God and grow spiritually. So if you want to honestly, if you want to be honest about it and be true about it, sincere about it, about growing spiritually, there are plenty of opportunities and spiritually matured saints here at East End Baptist Church to help you grow in your understanding of the Word. They will help you grow closer to the Lord, but you have to do something on your end. You have to act. You have to make that decision that you want to grow spiritually. You will have the want to and the desire. If you do, I'm sure we can find more than 26 guys or 26 believers here who would love for you to be part of either a Sunday school class, the Wednesday night prayer meeting, men's prayer breakfast, the senior adult classes and noon potlucks they have on the second Thursday of each month. I gave y'all a plug there, okay? You really don't have a legitimate excuse to not grow spiritually here in the Lord's house. But you have to do your part. See, these people showed up. And same here, you have to show up. In our text, we see the word was preached. They read from the book. The people understood. The people learned. And the people grew spiritually. And when God's people assemble in unity, when they give God their time and attention and reverence that He so deserves, when they have a true desire to hear and respond to the word, when they have the freedom and liberty and the heart to praise and worship, we'll grow spiritually. You know, our God is in a rebuilding business. You know, just like the wall around Jerusalem and the temple, He can rebuild you. He can restore you. And just like the people in our text, they experienced revival when they gathered together and praised and worshiped in unity, when they were attentive and understood the preaching of the Word of God, and you can experience that too. So this morning, church, if you feel that you are stuck in a rut or have become complacent towards serving the Lord by serving in His church here at East End Baptist, or maybe become stagnant towards your personal time with reading and studying the Word and growing spiritually, during the invitation, I want you to come and ask God to revive your heart. I'm going to ask you to come and ask God to relight that fire of desire back into your heart and soul. Or maybe you may be here and have a conviction to pray for revival for this whole church. And you most can certainly do that. And I please do that. If a group of you want to come forward and pray together for this church, for revival, for a great desire and movement of the Holy Spirit, please know that you have the liberty and freedom to do that. If you feel, or you may even know, that you may be broken this morning, maybe in shambles or just plain beat down by this old world we live in. You know, no matter if it's alcohol or drugs or prescription medication, a failed marriage, your pride, your bitterness, anger, a long-held grudge, or maybe a fallen away from God, a backslidden. Our God can and will rebuild you. He can and will restore you just like He did with this wall and temple in Israel here in Nehemiah. If you look down in verse 9, I didn't read it, but it says, "For all the people wept as they heard the words of the law." All the people wept. They responded to the word of God. The Bible tells us in Hebrews 4:12, "For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart." God's Word is going to cut you deep. It's going to cut you deep down past your joints and ligaments, down into your soul, and will expose your sin. The people here in our text were responding because the reading and preaching and teaching the Word of God, because it pointed out to them their sinfulness and their disobedience to God and their need of God. So I'm asking you today, church, will you respond this morning? If you are with us this morning and currently searching for a Christ-centered church to gather together with a Christ-centered people, a home that you can serve God with your time and talents and tithes, to give Him your praise and worship, and a place to grow spiritually, to serve, make that decision today to join the fellowship here at East End Baptist Church. I guarantee you this church will welcome you with open arms and with love, and will help you grow spiritually. If you're watching this morning and you feel that this church is a Christ-centered church that you're searching for, and the one that God has placed the conviction in your heart to be a part of, to serve in, and would like to transfer your church membership or need to be baptized in believer's baptism, you can contact the church this week, and someone will get back with you and will walk you through that process. If you're not been born again, if you have not been saved, as we say, this Christ-centered church body will help you, will walk alongside you, and will introduce you to our mighty King of Kings and Lord and Savior, Jesus, the one and only one and only way to our Heavenly Father. Or if you're just not sure about your salvation, if you have questions, if you're going to heaven or not, I'm going to ask you to respond and come forward. Then me or some of the deacons will be up front to pray with you, pray for you, pray over you, or whatever you may need this morning. Be happy to talk to you. Or if you just want to come and just pray. Pray for this church, pray for this congregation, pray for your church leadership team, pray for each other. Pray for someone that God has laid on your heart. I'm going to ask you to come. The altar is always open. And it's funny, I've got a habit when I go in and fill in the pulpit at different churches. I look at the carpet. I look at the carpet with the owl, and I look at the carpet at the altar to see if it's worn out or not. And sadly say, in most churches, it's not. So we need to use the altar more. We need to grab hands with our brothers and sisters and come down to the altar and put an arm around each other and pray for each other like brothers and sisters in Christ ought to do that. Church, there's no shame and no judgment at the altar. Must Brother Randy come up and get ready for an invitation. While they're getting ready, I'm going to ask you to bow your heads and close your eyes this morning. It is my sincere desire this morning that I hope you've learned a little bit out of our little short study of Nehemiah this morning. And you answer these questions I asked you at the very beginning. Does this describe you personally as a Christian? Does this describe this church as a Christ-centered church? Today will be the morning of action. So if there's anything in your heart that you need to settle, I'm going to ask you to come forward this morning. If anyone here that needs special prayer would like me to pray for you, I'm going to ask you to raise your hands, and I'll be glad to do that. Thank you. Thank you. Several hands went up. Thank you. I'm going to pray, then we're going to have the invitation. Heavenly Father, just thank you so much once again for giving us the opportunity to come to your house. God, we're so grateful for your Son, Jesus, and that sacrifice He did for each and every one of us, that we can have our sins forgiven and experience eternal life. God, we're so grateful for the Holy Spirit. And God, sometimes when we go to church, we actually don't feel the Holy Spirit working, but we know He's here. And God, it was my desire that the Holy Spirit stir this morning among this congregation, among this service. And I believe He has. God, it's my prayer that the Holy Spirit will stir people's heart this morning. That it will put conviction in people's heart this morning. God, today is the day of salvation. We're not promised another second, another minute on this earth. God, I pray that if anybody has any doubt about their salvation, God, I pray they will come forward today and get that settled today. God, we're so grateful for this church and all the people that are present and may be watching in. God, we're grateful for them. We're grateful for all the servants of this church, Lord. There's so many people that step up and serve You through this church, and we're so blessed to have each and every one of them. God, we start the singing service, part of the invitation, Lord. God, I pray that Your Holy Spirit would just stir. We put away all the distractions that may be going on in our minds and our thoughts. And we lift our praise and worship to You this morning and nothing else. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Let's all stand. It's hymn 470, Without Him.